if you're innovating, creating, or making a difference.
This show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
You have to know what your niche is. Really look for something that's a little bit different. And don't worry if it's a real small niche, because small niche podcasts can do very well.
Media marketing specialist Carol Sanek knows all about what makes a podcast compelling and how to get the word out about it. Carol is the founder and chief expressive creator of social media marketing firm Butterfly Boom Productions. She is also one of the host creators of the Crazy Marketing Ladies podcast, and as her website says, so much more. Recently, she was named in the Tampa Bay Business Journal's top 10 social media and PR agencies as best in the business. And she's going to be speaking at Podcast Movement 2016 at 5:15 Thursday evening, July 7th. Here's your chance to meet her a little bit early. Carol, what do you remember very best about your growing up years in Cleveland, Ohio, that ultimately led to your interest in social media marketing and your expertise?
Boy, I love left field questions. I really do. What do I remember most about growing up in Cleveland, Ohio? Actually, I'd have to say that the best part of growing up in Cleveland was the fact that it is such an ethnic city. You know, it, like other cities from, you know, Pennsylvania, New York, where immigrants came into, immigrants also came into Cleveland, Ohio, so it was a very ethnic city. So I grew up in a neighborhood where people spoke a lot of different languages. So I learned at a very young age how important language is. No matter what your language is, it's important to talk to each other and be social.
That sounds like heaven, too. Everybody from every place.
It was, and we ate a lot of good food, too.
As we're speaking, I'm remembering the wonderful Italian bread to which I was introduced growing up in New York City. So I can totally appreciate that. Just to give people some insights into you before we start talking about podcasting here, your website says that you once snuck into the Rolling Stones dressing room. Would you tell me the story behind that?
You were reading my 25 Things People Don't Know About Me or something like that, weren't you?
I sure was. Guilty as charged.
I know. That's funny. Okay, I'm 18 years old. The Rolling Stones had come to do a concert. And I was working, I had graduated high school, and it was between high school and college. And I was working with a girl who was kind of very, well, shall we say, brave, very brave. Susie Fisher was her name. And Susie and I got tickets to go to see the Stones play at Public Hall, which is the big concert venue at that time in Cleveland. So we were in the concert, and she just said to me, come on, we're going to go find their dressing room. And, I mean, this is a place where Ringling Brothers used to bring their circus. So you can imagine that it was a huge venue, you know. It's one of those old, old buildings, not the new places, you know, the stadium-type things and the arenas and the basketball, you know, places that people have concerts. No, this was a huge, old, stone building, and it had plenty of tunnels in it and all that because, obviously, you know, if you were bringing the circus into town, you bring the animals through tunnels and through underpasses and so forth and so on, much like they did in New York. Speaking of you being in New York, I have seen the animals arrive through the Midtown Tunnel into the city when they would come there for the circus. So she's got this great big idea that we needed to find the dressing room, and we did. Actually, it was really kind of amazing because you would have thought there'd been a lot more security. You truly would. So we got autographs. And it was just a really cool experience. And then security did come eventually. They didn't call. We were behaving ourselves. We truly were. We were just screaming 18-year-olds, you know. But we got autographs, and it was a lot of fun. And then we went back and watched the rest of the performance. This was before the show started.
What did the Stones say to you when you wound up in their dressing room?
Oh, well, some of what they said was not fit for audiences' ears. There were some suggestions as to why we were there, if you catch my drift. And things like that. And, of course, we were well-behaved young ladies, you know. So suggestions like that, as exciting as it might be, wasn't going to happen. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. But they were polite, and they were nice once they really called us birds, too. They called us birds. What are you birds doing here? you know, that kind of thing.
That English slang for women.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, would grow up to be two professional women. I am speaking to a marketing expert and a podcaster. If I'm counting correctly, 49 episodes as you and I speak today. The Crazy Marketing Lady Show, is that correct?
Yes, we have 49 shows. I have quite a few already recorded. You know, like you, I pre-record shows. The show that's coming out this weekend is actually a dear friend of mine who does websites and landing pages, and he's going to be talking a lot about that, and he actually lives in Walnut Creek, you know, outside San Francisco. He's my developer. He helps me with a lot of different programs. He's also an instructor at WordPress, so he's a handy-dandy guy to know.
So that'll be episode 50 of the Crazy Marketing Ladies Show. So when this comes up, that's the one to look for.
That'll be 50, yes. I haven't decided what to title it yet, because he's a very interesting man. He's a cyclist and a motorcyclist and used to be a mortgage broker. And I just hooked him up, of all things, with Cliff Ravenscraft.
Wow, the podcast answer man.
Yeah, the podcast answer man. I was talking with Cliff online about, he's doing a show with me, he and Stephanie, his wife, are going to do a show on fitness. Because my background is nursing, so we're going to be talking about, you know, when your health gets out of whack, because a lot of us, unfortunately, who work from home have a tendency not to exercise, you know, like we should be.
I'm groaning as you say that, yes.
And we don't always eat right, so I'm doing this show with Cliff and Stephanie Ravenscraft, but then it just so happened that he was talking about doing the 100-mile bike ride and what his heart rate was, and I said, you know, I have somebody that you need to connect with, and I connected them with Mike, and now they're friends.
Excellent.
I know. I love doing that. That's the fun part for me of social media. I love doing that, connecting people.
How did podcasting first come on your radar?
Probably several years ago at a conference when, you know, I first met Cliff and Pat Flynn and other people. Not John Lee Dumas wasn't at that event, but other people were that do a lot of podcasting. And I realized, you know, I've done TV and I've been fortunate enough to be on TV and have had some really great interview opportunities, but why not do radio and podcasting? Because it certainly didn't mean I'd have to put makeup on anymore, did it?
No, it certainly doesn't. From there, you thought you'd do podcasting. What were the steps to starting your Crazy Marketing Ladies podcast?
Well, I knew I wanted to do one about marketing because of the fact that that's what I do for a living. I help people with their social media PR, and I create content and do all those kind of little things behind the scenes for people on social media. And I have always outsourced other parts of that work to people who do things better than I do. For example, face-to-face marketing, that's not me. Offline marketing, that's not me. Print marketing, that's not me. So I started to talk to other women, and at the time there were four more of us. When I created the show, I had five of us, and we were all in different walks of life of marketing. I had a gal who is an extreme networker, and I have another one who is an offline marketing person. She's still with me. And then I brought on a photographer, Wendy McGinnis, is with me, and she's an amazing interviewer because she was a SWAT detective. So talk about knowing how to interview people, you know. So Wendy came on board, and then a couple of them, you know, as time goes by, people get, as I call it, real jobs, or they have to go back to work, you know, for real money. And so they moved on, and I'm bringing on a brand new licensed mental health care social worker as a new crazy lady. Doesn't that just fit the bill?
We podcasters are all a little crazy anyway. I think it fits great.
Exactly. She's going to be dynamite. Her name is Angie Speller, and I'm meeting with her next Friday. I have a podcast show recorded of her that I'm going to be putting out soon, and she liked it so much, and she knows she has so much good advice to give that she's going to be a regular host on the show. And the hosts have to be women, because after all, we named the show The Crazy Marketing Lady Show, which, by the way, takes me back to part of the question you asked me. We voted on that name, and one of the gals was too afraid that we were going to sound like crazy cat ladies, you know. And I said, don't worry about it. We're just Crazy Marketing Ladies. And, you know, people love the name. we like to look for crazy ideas. You know, we always ask people, you know, what's a crazy thing that you did, you know, to help your business grow, things like that. And that goes to our consistency of our show, because we believe that consistency is important. You know, we always want to give that crazy tip. We only interview successful entrepreneurs because our show is geared for entrepreneurs. So, you know, I get a lot of requests from people, and I've had to turn some people down because they just don't fit, you know, the type of guests that we want to have on the show. However, we did expand in a category, and we've taken our show to what's called Story Glory Moments. And I know that you know, and I believe you've interviewed Jenna Edwards.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, Jenna, with her 7 seconds that changes your life. There's quite a few people that we all know that have those 7 second moments where something so devastating happens to you, and as a result, you totally turn your life around and go in a different direction, but it's a better life. You know, you come out of it on the better side. So we are starting to do what we call Story Glory Moments, where somebody took a devastating event and turned it into maybe a new career path and became very successful, and how they marketed themselves to do it. I mean, so it's still kind of fits into the marketing idea, but it also fits into that inspirational story that we want to share with people. We want to, you know that you're an entrepreneur. It's very difficult sometimes, so you have to have those inspiring stories to keep going, right?
Absolutely. What would you consider one of the most inspiring, crazy marketing experiences you've had with your podcast?
Well, probably, crazy. You got me on that one. You really did. I haven't had anybody, I've had people swear, so I have a show coming up that I have to, oh, you might know her, Ruthie Otero. Do you know Ruthie Otero?
Not yet, no.
Okay. She came down the red carpet when you and I worked the red carpet at IWTV, but she came down, I think, after you left. She's an actress in Hollywood, and she swore, and she said, am I allowed to swear? And I said, you can. I said, it doesn't bother me. I just have to mark my show explicit. You know, and it was okay. It was in the form of a quote that she wanted to use. So that was just fine. I mean, I didn't have a problem with that at all. But I think probably one of the craziest things I did, though, was when I asked Bob Berg to be on the show, because, you know, he was my first celebrity to speak of. I mean, this is not somebody that I've met him. Yeah, I've met him at one of his talks, because he's like, you know, he lives down here in Jupiter, Florida, and he's like a Tony Robbins type, you know, motivational speaker. But I was fortunate enough to have, you know, somebody that could also jump in and help me a little bit in case he said no, but he didn't say no. You know, he didn't say no. And that's when I found out between Bob and between Ruthie Otero that people that have, shall we say, celebrity kind of lives usually are not going to say no because they want the publicity. They still want it. There's something new coming out. There's a new TV show maybe, or a new movie, or a new book. They want to talk to you. And it's gotten crazier. Lately, my favorite area codes on my phone rings are 310 and 323. That's out by you.
California.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm really excited when I see those area codes, because that means somebody has found me again. People are actually finding me, Dot. That really pleases me. They find me a lot from Twitter, but also a lot from my blogging. People actually find me from my blogging. So, and then they want to be on the show.
In fact, let's mention your blog, because you've won some awards with your blogging.
I did. I have won an award from Healthline, and I have won 2 awards from Dell Immune, which the company they do. You know, I actually, this is really embarrassing. Do I really know what Dell Immune does? Not really, but I know that they're in the field of cancer because I keep winning their awards for having one of the 60 best cancer blogs. And you know, and my blog is not about cancer. Cancer is a category in that blog because I'm a 22-year survivor of breast cancer. So I have that category, surviving after breast cancer. But my blog is I survived damn near everything, and they actually gave me the award based on some of my other stories in there, some of the other stories that I've told in there and written in there. So I'm always thrilled to have that, you know, that got a nice badge on my website, and it's really nice to have that because it validates, I'll tell you the truth, it validates my cost if somebody asks me to ghostwrite for them. You know, when you have an award for blogging or for anything, really, it gives you the permission to charge, you know, bigger money sometimes. You know, you can bump your request up and say, you know, instead of doing a blog, you know, 400 words for $50, if not 100, something to that effect, you know. And people go along with it because you've got the backup there. You know, it's like in podcasting, it's like showing advertisers, you know, how many listeners you have, how many downloads you have. That validation is very important. So, yeah, but I'm really, really pleased that I did receive those awards. You know what? When we hang up, I'm going to have to go and look and see what Dell Immune does. And here's another thing about that whole thing. They didn't even tell me I won. I heard about it from other people on Twitter. They just go through, and I know it's not, they don't make a big deal out of it. And, you know, and all of a sudden I got, congratulations, Carol, you won again this year. And I went, whoa, wow, let me look at that right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you remember very best, coming back to your podcast and Crazy Marketing Ladies show, about those early ones that you had to deal with as a new podcaster? What were some of the challenges?
Some of the biggest challenges were some of the shows that we did on our own without interviews. And as a matter of fact, we have to get back to some of those because, after all, the shows that we do on our own are the ones that are giving advice, like, you know, why you should use Twitterless, why Google Plus is one of my favorite platforms. Think, you know, shows like that where I'm the sole speaker. The problem with that is a lot of times you can hear me shuffling papers. Because I script out my show, you know, I have my notes, you know, I know what I want to talk about. And we don't have a studio here in our house, so I have to go into my master bedroom, into my master bedroom closet, among my clothes, and I sit there with a big cup of water and my dog on my lap, because otherwise she'll carry on. If she's not around her maternal unit, you know, she'll be carrying on, scratching at the door. And we podcast, and that's a challenge. Intros and outros for me are always a challenge. Somewhere along the line, I always screw one up and I have to start over. You know, I say something wrong and I laugh and I start over. So, yeah, things like that. That was the biggest challenge was when I first started out. But now, I probably wrote my intros and outros out. And I say almost the same thing every time, except for, you know, putting in who the guest was and who sponsored the show and, you know, things like that.
Suppose somebody listening right now wants to start a podcast. And let's make it a woman listening right now wants to start a podcast, because as of today, 7 out of the top 10 podcasts on iTunes are run by men. We want to get some more women out here. What would you say to her? What does she need to start to do? What are the steps to getting that podcast up and running?
Well, first of all, going back to what you asked me how I started, you have to know what your niche is. There are so many podcasts out there. If there's 175,000 podcasts, which I'm sure there's more like 200,000 by now since we've been to the conference and we heard those numbers, you need to have a niche. And when you have a niche, you really, if there's something you really like to do, I would say that's what you should be podcasting about. You know, I mean, there's a lot of mompreneur podcasts out there and a lot of cooking podcasts out there. And there's a lot of the same kind. So I would say really look for something that's a little bit different. And don't worry if it's a real small niche, because small niche podcasts can do very well. You know, there's a certain amount of people that need to have specific information. I remember when we were in Texas meeting a man who his podcast is strictly for government workers. You know, and I thought, well, that's cool. That's really cool, but it's not something I would listen to. But he does really well with it. So don't be afraid to niche it down and make it a small group. You know, we were talking the other day about, you know, when you have numbers, it's really nice if we all had 10,000 downloads a day. But it's not so bad not to have those either, because that way, you know, if you have a steady, focused group of listeners, they're the ones that you want to keep entertaining, because they will help you grow your podcast. I think people worry too much about numbers.
I kind of think so, too. It's good to have your community that you can serve. Your first podcast makes reference to all the work that was involved in getting that up and running. What can someone who's new to podcasting reasonably expect to do in terms of putting in the hours?
That's a good question. I'm fortunate enough that I have a husband that likes to help me a lot. So he did my album cover for me. If you're going to start out and you don't know how to design an album cover, then you hire somebody from Fiverr, because it's really inexpensive to hire somebody from Fiverr to do your album cover. You know, you don't want to have to pay a graphic designer when you've got so many people all over this world that can put something together for you for $5 or $10. I always tell people you can start podcasting for about $100. That includes, if you're using a smartphone device, you know, and you already have one, you know, that includes purchasing a shotgun microphone. I do a lot of my podcasting on my non-professional setup, I just pop my little microphone into my phone. That way, I'm mobile. I can carry that little microphone anywhere and everywhere. I have several different recording platforms. Boss Jock cost me $10 to have on my phone, and I can record right into Boss Jock, and I get very good sound quality. So $100, yeah, I mean, it takes some time. You know, but for $100, you can be up and running. You truly can. You don't have to have all the biggest and the best right off the bat. Because, first of all, like Pat Flynn said that day when we were in Texas, you go back and listen to your first podcast, you're going to be laughing at yourself. Because we all sound pretty bad on our first podcast show. You know, we truly do. But, you know, you have to, you just do it. If you wait for it to be perfect, you're going to wait forever because it's never going to be perfect.
I'm sitting here laughing because my first one is one that I cringe at hearing now. What's next for you with the Crazy Marketing Lady? Where are you going in the next year or so with it?
Okay, we just renamed our company. We're rebranding ourselves. We renamed our company. All right, I have my social butterfly media marketing business. We have the Crazy Marketing Lady show. In October, I should have the new show should be up. It's called The Nearness of You. So we wanted to bring them all underneath one umbrella. So we are rebranding ourselves, and we've applied for an LLC with the name Butterfly Boom Productions. And under that umbrella of Butterfly Boom Productions will be the two podcast shows, will be the social media business that the consulting business that I do, and we're also going to offer editing and production of podcasts to people who don't want to do the equipment, don't have time to do the equipment. We're going to call it, it's like renting a DJ, they're going to rent a podcaster. Because, then, you know, all they have to do then is get a host, you know, get a Libsyn or a Podbean or something like that where they can put their show, and we send it to them in Dropbox, and they've got themselves a show.
Butterfly Boom Productions, and how do people find out?
It's a tab. No, it's only a tab on my website. I'm not changing. You know, I'm going to give you a really good piece of advice for your listeners, too. When you're branding yourself, you know, you want to brand your name. I am CarolSanek.com, and the reason I'm CarolSanek.com is I can sell any of my businesses at any moment and off. You know, I can sell the Social Butterfly. I could sell Butterfly Boom Productions. I could sell off the podcast if I wanted to. And then if I didn't have CarolSanek.com, people would say to me, well, who are you? I've never heard of Carol Sanek. Own your name. Buy your name off of a domain and get your name. Own your name. And you should really, truly have a website that's dedicated to your name. You should be branding yourself and put everything else underneath that.
CarolSanek.com, that's Carol with an E, C-A-R-O-L-E, Sanek.com for anybody that would like to contact you. As we conclude here, Carol, what would you most like people to learn from you, from Butterfly Boom, from Crazy Marketing Ladies, or from all the things you've survived about innovation, creativity, and making a difference?
My best ideas have come to me while I'm somewhere else. It's really strange. The Nearness of You, which is going to be my new show, is strictly based on the love letters that my father wrote home from World War II to my mother. I didn't know what to do with these letters. I have all these letters. I wanted to give them to my children. I was going to bind them into books and give them to my children as a legacy. And I decided there's enough of us out there whose parents fell in love or grandparents fell in love during World War II, and there are stories to be shared. So, you know, and you know where I got that idea from? I don't know if it was sitting in this room with me when the girl from the Kitchen Diaries. Did you hear her presentation?
I don't believe I did.
They live on a commune, I believe, outside Sacramento. I don't know exactly. They're in California. And what she was talking about was the history of sound. And she started talking about how people used to record records and send them to each other, you know. And I'm old enough to remember doing that at amusement parks. You could go into a sound booth and you could make a record, a 78 RPM record. Yes, you could. And you could send it to somebody. So my parents had records like that. And, you know, when she said that, when she started talking about all these records that she's collected of love stories, so to speak, of, I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I have a love story, my parents' love story. And it dawned on me, this is my new podcast. So, you know, when that idea comes to you from out in the left field, embrace it. Because a lot of times it can be a darn good idea.
We'll be looking for The Nearness of You to be coming out next month. Can't wait.
I know. And I do. I own the URL already and the domain name. Unfortunately, the music written by Hoagy Carmichael is still under copyright. So so I can't use the song because I'd have to pay big licensing fees. Sony owns it at this point in time. But, you know, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. I'm kind of hoping that the show will be successful enough that Sony will say to me, you know, would you like to have the song? Why not? Dream big, you know? Dream big. Ask for it. You know, another thing, I intend to close each episode of that show with, if anybody who's listening knows Tom Brokaw, will you let him know that I really would like to interview him as a guest on this show because he wrote the book The Greatest Generation. And I figure if I close every show with that, eventually somebody's going to say, hey, Brokaw, there's this woman in Florida who would like to interview you.
Wow.
You know, you just don't know. You don't know. If you don't ask, you don't get. You know? That's what I tell people all the time. There's only two answers, yes or no. And, you know, if somebody says no to you, you just move on. Because there's always somebody, as Forrest Gump said, there's always another bus coming. Well, that's not exactly what he said, but you know what I mean.
My mom used to say, never run after a bus or a man. There's always another one coming.
Well, there you go. Exactly. So, you know, if you think you have an idea, for goodness sake, you know, if it's in your gut, not in your heart necessarily, in your gut, if it feels good in your gut, then go for it and do it. Because if it feels good there, you can't trust your gut. And your heart's going to lead you astray. We all know that. We've all been down those roads, you know. But your gut's going to tell you, yeah, you know what, that's a good idea. So follow it. Do it. You know, and, oh, one more piece of advice, Doc. We had a big women's conference here in Tampa last week. Huge women's conference. And one of the speakers got up and said, when you have an idea, keep it a secret. I announced I have a new podcast coming up, but guess what? It's already in the works, and it's okay that I've announced that. But when I first thought about doing it, I wasn't out there telling the world. You know, and I think sometimes the worst people you can tell are your family, because right away they're telling you 100 different reasons why you shouldn't be doing it. So keep it a secret. Keep it a secret. Work on it. You know, chew it up. Spit it out. Chew it up again. Spit it out again. And eventually you're going to have something that somebody's going to go, holy mackerel, I didn't know you were working on this. I didn't know you could do this. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. You don't want to hear the, oh, you're crazy. You know, you're crazy to try that. Are you nuts? You know that people say that when you give somebody an idea. People are real fast to say it's a bad idea. They're real fast. So don't listen to them and don't tell them.
Exactly. Most families are like, they don't believe it. They don't believe it. Where's the money? Oh, you did it. Ah, well. And then they don't know what to say.
Exactly. And I think, well, too, a lot of times when we were talking about this at the conference, that people who give you negative feedback a lot of times have a reason for that. Sometimes, you know, they're envious. You know, that you had this great idea and it really does sound good, but they don't want to tell you, you know, that it sounds good because they wish it was their idea. So keep your ideas secret, work on them, bring them out, and be successful with them. And you know what? Then people are going to go, wow, isn't that great? Good job. The bottom line here is don't go into it thinking that you're going to make a bazillion dollars, but you're not. You might someday, but you're not right away. You know, it takes time. Have fun with it. Have a lot of fun with it, because really and truly, that's what it is. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. Most of us at podcasts, or I would say a lot of us at podcasts, have other jobs, too. You know, when I download it, night on Libsyn, my downloads fail. That's because so many people are downloading. Or I should say uploading. They're uploading, you know, all their podcasts at the same time. So now I learn to get up early in the morning and do it, because they're all getting ready for work. Yeah, so, you know, just follow your heart and do what feels right.
So
trust that gut. Trust the gut.
Carol, thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was fun.
You and I have been listening to media marketing specialist Carol Sanek, chief expressive officer at Butterfly Boom Productions, and one of the host creators of the Crazy Marketing Ladies Show podcast. If you're at Podcast Movement 2016 in Chicago right now, you'll get a chance to hear her speak. Carol's going to be speaking at 5:15 on Thursday, July 7th in the Columbus GH Room, and her topic is Come On Big Money, Spinning to Win Using Social Media. But whether you're in Chicago or not, check out carolsanek.com. That'll give you updates on her brand new podcast coming out soon, The Nearness of You. That's carolsanek.com, spelling Carol with an E, S-A-N-E-K is the last name, carolsanek.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more Over Coffee podcasts, our link is twomaverix.com. That's twomaverix.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix.com. cappuccinoday@gmail.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.